think it's up to us to say what the future of AI will be. But we can't leave it to an elite few in Silicon Valley to decide this powerful technology.
I'm Dawn Borchardt, and this is Faux Real, a podcast where I interview filmmakers. On this episode, I interview Shalini Kuntaya, director of Coded Bias, just after her world premiere at the Sundance Film Festival.
Shalini previously directed the documentary Catching the Sun about the clean energy movement, which is streaming on Netflix right now, and the season finale of National Geographic series Breakthrough. Her newest film, Coded Bias, explores AI in our modern society, how AI is increasingly governing our liberties, and how the algorithms that AI are based off of are biased. Many researchers have been discovering that AI are not neutral, and this is especially affecting women, people of color, and people with disabilities. I wanted to start out with a quote from your main subject, Joy, a researcher at MIT. And she says, when you think of AI, it's forward-looking, but AI is based on data, and data is a reflection of our history. The past dwells within our algorithms. This data is showing us the inequalities that have been here. Could you talk a little bit about what AI really is and what this quote is talking about? Because I know that a lot of us kind of have this really sci-fi Hollywood idea of what AI is, but it's not really accurate. And it definitely doesn't include the notion of any data bias.
Absolutely. And I just want to caveat this by saying, you know, I'm not an MIT Media Lab researcher, and I'm certainly not in any AI think tanks. I'm a filmmaker and an artist. And so, you know, everything that I'm going to share is from my perspective in the 2 years making this film. And, you know, sort of what inspired me was this, I think, our idea of artificial intelligence has been sort of fashioned out of the imagination of science fiction writers and filmmakers who have sort of showed us talking robots and, you know, the worlds of Blade Runner and Metropolis and, you know, others, the Terminator. Mm-hmm. And I think in the making of this film, what I learned is that there is that imagining of artificial intelligence prevents us from seeing how AI is being implemented in the now. And in the making of this film, I learned that AI is in so many of the systems, from everything from our Google searches to, you know, what's in our Netflix, you know, what's next in our Netflix queue, you know, the next thing that's shown in an advertisement. AI can be used as gatekeepers more and more, deciding who gets hired, who gets healthcare, and how long someone may serve in prison. And so what I saw unfolding as I made this film is that, as Joy says so eloquently, that we're entering this age of automation, overconfident and underprepared. And so the film helps to be sort of a primer. You know, I hope the stories in it will help us transform the way that we see AI in the now.
Oh, yeah. Watching it, like, it's like we know how much technology is in our lives and like Big Brother is always watching kind of thing, but it took my knowledge to a whole new level of how much I'm being really tracked and how that can affect my life and especially other people. Just like you're saying, like the prison system and everything, that's so crazy.
Absolutely. And what I began to discover was that these automated decision-making mechanisms can really limit opportunity and cause harm. Mm-hmm. And have literally no sort of guidelines in place for us to have any kind of protections as citizens. And I don't think that's healthy in a democracy.
So how did you get involved in this project? And kind of, you've obviously with like Catching the Sun and working with Nat Geo, you're working with a lot of scientific data. So like, how did you get involved in these projects and what made you choose film as your medium to share such like a factual scientific story?
I feel like kind of a sci-fi and science fanatic. It's just sort of my, it's my geeky thing. And I think I come from a family of scientists. We sort of immigrated to the States and, we were encouraged to go into fields of medicine because that's how our family was able to, you know, make a life in a new country. And I was thought of science as something as practical, but I make art because I need it like air and water. And didn't sort of had a choice. But I think in my work, I sort of explore disruptive technologies and inequality. I feel like a lot of my work has to do with sort of science and technology and the way that they intersect with equality and race and class and gender and all of those things. And so how, as we adapt new technologies, whether we create a society that's more equal or less equal, and sort of what, you know, these technologies are. And AI has just been, the further I went down the rabbit hole, the more I realized that this is going to transform our world at an incredibly rapid pace.
Oh, yeah. Well, on that note of equality, at one point, Joy uses the term the coded gaze, and that really just like took me right back to going to film school myself. And I also went to school for women's studies and just discussing the male gaze. And Joy says, who controls the gaze has the power to shape what is prioritized. Mm-hmm. And I love that the field of research that you're documenting is really dominated by women and minorities. Mm-hmm. Did you know that beforehand, or was that something that really drew you to the subject, or was it just kind of
not
like a nice surprise?
Not at all. I just started reading and researching. From what I discovered, the mathematicians and data scientists who are leading the charge on creating a more ethical use of technologies like AI are women and people of color. And they both are in this unique insider-outsider position because they're all razor smart. I think I counted 7 women PhDs in my film.
That's amazing.
And they understand all the science and all the data of it, and are incredibly well-researched. But at the same time, I think had some part of their identity where they were an outsider. And that gave them this unique perspective of being marginalized and having systems not optimized for them. And I think they are the very people, the rebels and the outsiders and the misfits, who are at the forefront of this movement. And I remember there was a moment where I sort of looked back on my film and I was like, wow, it's all women and women of color.
I know. I love that. I was not expecting that going into watching it. And I was like, this is amazing.
There are a few supporting characters in it that are men. And then this thing came to me and I was like, does it then become a woman's film? And then I thought, if I think back to like a lot of the documentaries about the advancement of technology and AI, there are at least 5 films where I've had to sit a half hour before I saw someone of my gender. And if I saw someone of my race at all, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really happy to center women and people of color in the imagining of our future.
Okay. I'm going to quote Joy again, because everything she says is so lovely. At one point she says, we're in a moment where the technology is being rapidly adopted and there are no safeguards. It is in essence a wild, wild west. So for you personally, what are some of your fears for the current state of AI?
You know, my role as an artist is to shine a light and to make the invisible visible. Mm-hmm. And to make heroes out of everyday people. I think that's the beauty of, particularly of documentary film. And so the thing that I fear most is actually said very well by Zainab Tufekci in my film, where she says, what I fear most is that we're not going to go down this heavy-handed 1984 model, mm-hmm. but in this sort of race to efficiency, we're going to go down this model where it's soft power that's sort of manipulating us, the large hand of soft power, the big nudge, as we call it, of these systems that are sort of gently nudging us on paths controlled by power. And I think that we need to start to think about the inhumane things that can happen when we need to start thinking about the price that we're paying when we outsource our autonomy to machines.
Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas, his view is incredibly optimistic. It's a bit supporting what the people in your film are saying, but he's just believes that if as long as like everyone in society has a seat at the table, that the future of AI is optimistic. But people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk have predicted that like AI will be the end of us. How do you personally see
this? I have hope because of the characters in my film. Mm-hmm. I have hope because there are people, data scientists and mathematicians who care about ethics and bringing our humanity to the technologies of the future. People like Joy Balamwini and Kathy O'Neill and Zeynep Tufekci and Meredith Broussard and Safia Noble and Virginia Eubanks are my hope for the future, because they are the ones who are leading the charge on, first of all, helping us understand this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And helping us become more educated and empowered around this stuff. And also around how we can have meaningful legislation. These technologies are not inherently good or bad. It has to do with sort of the business model and who they're optimized for. And I think it's up to us to say what the future of AI will be. But we can't leave it to an elite few in Silicon Valley to decide this powerful technology. We all have to participate.
Yeah. The subjects in your film, like if they are the ones leading the charge for this, I feel great about it. And I love that they are like going to Congress and saying things and not just involving the businesses and asking for legislation for this. I think that's so important. This really is all of our lives. If anyone is trying to learn more, do you have suggestions for people who want to learn more about AI or the algorithm bias?
Well, if they'd like to see the film, they can go to codedbias.com. And if they'd like to learn more about algorithmic justice, they can follow the Algorithmic Justice League.
They're so badass, too. I just love the people in your film. They're amazing. Well, thank you so much. This has been so lovely. Your film is so incredibly informative and just, it makes you want to learn more and protect yourself and protect the people around you. So thank you so much for making that. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, this has been so lovely.
This episode was produced and edited by Tibble, Prince of Cats. The music is Lost and Bound by Talin Kali. Faux Real was Faux Real, recorded outside of a tragic bakery.
Oh, this is good.